listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Welcome to the 76th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On this week's episode, we're continuing Listener Request Month with two more films from our listeners. Fred B. requested Escape from Tomorrow, and listener Catlin requested the creepy animated film Coraline. For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. Escape from Tomorrow is currently streaming on Shudder, and Coraline is on Netflix, so check them out first before continuing if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. I almost got through that. Almost worked out.
I still think you nailed
it. Thanks, Carl. You're just such a support. You're such a supportive and lovely person. I just appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Just love you. Okay. All this female, like, positivity, I just, you know, we're just emulating it today.
Exactly.
Emanating. That's the word I was going for. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is The First Purge with a July 4th release date. We've already talked about this, but now we have an actual trailer, so we're going to talk about it some more. It's directed by Gerard McMurray, who directed Burning Sands with a question mark after it. Carly, is that all he did?
I have no idea what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
I put a question mark in it. apparently, he also sort of produced Fruitvale Station, which I've seen.
Don't even know what that is.
But it's not horror by any shape, way, or form.
Yeah, doesn't sound like horror. What was it called?
Fruitvale Station.
Yeah.
It's actually a really serious movie. It's about the kid that got shot by police, like, on, I think it was 2005, but I'm not 100% sure. It's really good. It's with Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And this is written, and The First Purge is written by James DeMonaco, who wrote all the other Purge movies, it looks like.
yeah. And also the first episode of the TV show.
But... All right. Oh, I forgot there's going to be a TV show.
Yeah.
The IMDb summary is the film will be a prequel that will focus on the events that lead up to the very first Purge. Carly wrote cool summary after that. It's accurate. Yeah.
What a boring summary, though.
It is a pretty boring summary. This trailer looks pretty good, though.
It looks really good.
I'm down. I like how there's, like, an uprising and the government infiltration. It really reminds me of an action film with, like, small moments of horror. It's what it kind of seems like.
Totally. No, I think this is the Purge trailer that has made me the most interested to see a Purge movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like all the other ones, I think I saw Anarchy. I saw Anarchy and Election Year both in theater, but I think it was like a cheap movie day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whatever, let's just go see this. But I would actually go see this movie. I think it looks good.
I mean, as I've said many times on this show, I still haven't seen any of the Purge films and I want to see them all. It just hasn't happened yet.
Good thing this is a prequel, so you don't need to see anything else before going into this.
I understand the plot of the Purge. I mean, it's not a very complicated plot. And I don't know. All the trailers seem to give away at least the political aspect of it, or some of the political aspects of it.
Totally.
I don't know. I'm super interested in the Purge period. I just haven't yet. So I'm into it. I'll probably see it eventually.
You'll see.
Maybe I'll let you watch it first in theaters, and if it's not like if it doesn't affect the other films, or I can watch it as a standalone piece, you can let me know and I'll go see it in theaters too.
Okay. I think you can see any of them standalone. Yeah, it kind of seems like,
because they're all different storylines, really. It's just takes place in the same universe.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wonderful.
All right. Well,
are we ready?
We are ready.
So here is Fred B. to introduce our first film of the episode.
This is Fred Beard. I am requesting Escape from Tomorrow from 2013. The reason I'm requesting this is it is a very underrated film that was filmed without permission on Disneyland and Disney World theme parks, and very, very beautiful black and white filming, I guess you could say. I sound like a jackass on here. Yeah, Escape from Tomorrow, great, great movie that I think y'all might actually enjoy. Have a great day. Bye.
Escape from Tomorrow from 2013. It is directed by Randy Moore and also written by Randy Moore. And this is his first and only anything. The IMDb summary is, in a world of fake castles and anthropomorphic rodents. Did I get that?
You totally nailed that.
An epic battle begins when an unemployed father's sanity is challenged by a chance encounter with two underage girls on holiday. Go on.
Fred B. and I have a very fun relationship where we don't agree on anything. So it's really no surprise that I absolutely hated this movie.
I was like, but this movie's supposed to take place in Disney World, but that is clearly Disneyland. I think I'm too familiar with the parks to like have been like, bullshit.
Well, there's some Epcot shots.
There are. But that's like so much of this is takes place at Disneyland that I want it to be like, why didn't they just have it take place at Disneyland?
Probably because it's easier to go to Disneyland. I don't know. Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Like, because they're supposed to be in Florida for some reason.
Sure. if you're doing a film like this and one park is easier than the other one, just film it at that park, right?
I mean, if there's many complaints I have about this movie, and that is not
that
one
was
of
my
them.
Biggest one. I was like, I call bullshit.
Like that bothers me the very least about this movie. Like that is my least concern is if it was filmed in two locations instead of one.
That's so funny.
Did you like this?
Thought it was weird
because it's I think Fred had you in mind when he picked it, not me, that's for sure.
I was really interested in the way I definitely appreciate the way that they shot it. God, I can't imagine going on It's a Small World as many times as they had to like get some of those shots.
It's like my worst nightmare.
It was really bizarre. I did appreciate like the little nods that they had to like the hidden Mickeys, which even like was a weird one, mm-hmm. but it's a thing mm-hmm. in Disneyland and Disney World. It is.
Where they hide Mickey Mouse, not pictures, but like the mouse
like the
emblem
shape.
All over the park.
Yeah, like the three circles that make up anything that like makes up Mickey Mouse, essentially.
Yeah, it's like a game for people who go to Disneyland and Disney World often, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you kind of have been on everything, you've seen everything, so you can go around and find the different missing Mickeys.
Yeah. And there's also, like, other things, too. Like, it's not always Mickey. Like, there's an Eeyore hidden in Indiana Jones. There's a lot of things like that.
Well, you go to Disneyland a lot because you have an annual pass.
I go very often. I typically go at least once a month.
I get to go, like, once every other year if I'm lucky. And it's the best time of my life because I love it so much.
I love it. I will seriously just go there for the food. Like, right now they have the Food and Wine Festival going on. And I don't know if I've talked about this before, but they have this, I'm a vegetarian, so they have a no meatball sub, and it is like the best thing. I've literally gone three times just primarily for the goal of getting that as my meal. Like I went.
It's too bad they don't deliver that directly to your home.
My world would be made because it's so good. It's so good.
I love how the kids' favorite ride is the Buzz Lightyear ride because that's one of my favorites. I absolutely love the Buzz Lightyear ride.
It's so fun and it's so like, it's so fun. That was one of those ones that was like, that is clearly at Disneyland and it's such a big part of the film that I'm like, why don't they just make it be at Disneyland?
I'm like, yeah, that's Tomorrowland and they are definitely
because there's a Star Tours ride.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right across the way. Everyone knows you get the pass from the Star Wars ride and then you ride Buzz Lightyear. Everyone knows that.
It's very true.
And I called bullshit artist on that little girl who says she doesn't like the Buzz Lightyear ride.
I agree.
And she wants to ride the teacups. That mom is having way too much fun riding those bullshit kid rides.
It's true.
Those rides are not fun.
Also in Disneyland, BT dubs.
If you're three, they're fun. They are not fun for anyone else. They are so boring. They're riding,
I will say,
the merry-go-round and the teacups, and they're like, woohoo! Oh my god, it's so fun! Like, fuck you.
And Buzz Lightyear
got mad.
Is one of those continuously going. So even when that line is really long, it's going to be continuously moving. There's no way you're stuck in that ride for three hours. But I digress. The teacups.
I love
the
end scene of that when they're like waiting in line forever, and then they get to the front of the line, and you hear the fake announcement: "We're sorry, this ride is out of order or something." Yeah. And the guy turns around and starts like getting all upset because he's been waiting a line. But the guy in front of him turns around like, "What the fuck are you so upset about?"
He's like, "God, this guy's crazy.
Where are you going, bro?" Because that guy's obviously not an actor.
It's very true.
It's really funny.
It is.
I love that part. So this film was made in Disneyland and Disney World guerrilla style. So they used two Canon cameras. I have, what is it? EOS SD Mark II? Is that what it is?
An EOS 5D Mark II cameras and one Canon EOS 1D Mark IV digital.
If you know about cameras.
Single lens reflex camera.
For you.
And shot in monochrome mode.
There you go.
The scripts were on the iPhone.
I don't know about cameras, but if you know about cameras, that might be interesting to you.
it's just words to me.
But it's cool that they, and the scripts were on
iPhones.
Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, it's a cool way to film a movie. I love how they didn't have permission from Disney. And like knowing the background is fun. And so I do appreciate that aspect of the film. But the film as a whole is absolutely terrible and upsets me beyond repair. Like, this doesn't make up for the movie and the plot. That just hurts me.
It's super weird.
My brain and heart.
None of the characters are very likable to me.
I feel really bad for his wife. I feel very bad for her, but she's also a little obnoxious. But I feel like it's, I don't know. I want to know if the dude was always this way. Because when we meet the dad character, who's the main character of the film, he's getting fired from his job and he starts acting crazy, and the wife keeps saying, "You're acting different," but we don't know how he's acting different because we didn't know who he was to begin with. So all I'm led to believe is this is some sort of like pedophile asshole, because the whole movie he's a pedophile.
That's
asshole
true.
It doesn't work on any level because of that small. If they just had a scene or two before that happened,
where he was like normal, fun dad.
Yeah, it would have made this movie infinitely better. Infinitely, because we would have known he's sick, or you know, he's reacting to getting fired, and so he's acting all crazy. Like that would make this movie 1,000% better. Like, but now I just think he's an asshole, and the whole movie, I just want him to die. I'm just like, can he die now? Can he die now? How about now? How about in this scene? Can he die in this scene? No. And then when he dies, it's not as fun because I want like a brutal, like a woman killing him. You know, I mean, technically a woman kind of kills him, but still it's not as fun as if she was like, I don't know, bashing his brains in or something.
Which would have been so amazing.
It just would have been satisfying because he's such a dick. He's basically the worst person on the planet.
Yeah, he's very like, I mean, he's with his daughter through a lot of it and like barely paying attention to her, which is really strange. And like, yeah, I agree.
He's forcing his children to follow around these very young teenage French girls. Which I don't... They're so young. One of them has braces and frizzy hair. Like, I just don't get it. Why are you such a disgusting piece of shit in public in front of your
at
children?
At Disney World.
What the fuck is wrong with you? he's terrible. I want him to die a terrible death. And he it died just on didn't the toilet. Happen the way I wanted to. Yeah, but he had a smile on his face. Like, I want you to be very upset when you're
miserable
dying.
And terrified and alone.
Yes. Yeah. I like how his son finds him and then just leaves him. The dad's like, help me. He's like, nah, he's fuck like, you.
No, you didn't want to go on the ride that I wanted to go on. You took me on Space Mountain, you asshole.
Okay, so there's definitely a part of this film that I don't understand at all. There's a whole scene where the dad gets kidnapped and taken to Epcot. Inside Epcot, mm-hmm. it looks like. And it's like a science center. And there's a guy kind of explaining things to him. Did you understand any of
that?
I didn't.
I was very confused. Honestly, I was like, kind of confused through a lot of the movie.
You were here as a kid. And a lot as a kid. And we've been keeping our eyes on you and this and that. I don't get it. I mean, maybe it's just me. I wasn't going to watch this again to try to figure it out. I'm sorry. I love you, Fred B, but I'm not doing that shit. I mean, it's fun to talk about now because I hated it so much. So I guess that's
good.
You
can just go.
That's something positive I can talk about.
I feel like it's one of those movies that I've seen the cover of many a time, but I've never sat down and actually watched it. So this is great. I'm glad that like I sat down and I actually watched it. Will I revisit again? Probably not. But I do appreciate how they filmed it. It was just a really strange, interesting. There was some disconnect with the story, I feel like. But it makes sense by.
And how women are in reality.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like extraordinarily insulting to women. I don't know. Women weren't real. You know, the women characters were very strange. Didn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the mom was either nagging or upset. And, I mean, rightfully so. He's a fucking nightmare. And then the woman he has an affair with is, I don't understand her character at all.
I was very confused as to, like, is that her son? Was that hers? Like, I don't know.
That's his wife?
Yeah.
At the end?
Yeah. Which I didn't.
So is he a robot?
I didn't get
was
it.
He, I'm thinking he was a robot. There's two of him or something.
I don't know. Fred Beard, if you could explain that to me. Yeah, I was very was confused part at that point because I was just like, wait, did I miss something? Like, I seriously was like, did I miss something? Maybe Amy will enlighten me, but I got very confused at that.
Oh, girl, I don't know. So, like, here's what I'm thinking. Like, Walt, there was some kind of something with Walt Disney, and, you know, he was very they were kept commenting on how creative he was, the dad, when they have him in the little science room, and, like, you're so creative. Oh, you have all these thoughts. So I was thinking, maybe he's, like, they took him as a child and made him into some kind of Disney robot or something? Because they were like, they should have explained this to you when they fired you. I don't know. They didn't do a good job of explaining. Whatever that was, they did not do a good job of explaining it. And if they did, I completely fucking missed it. And usually I don't completely fucking miss things. Like, I kind of can miss things sometimes.
No,
but
you're usually really good at that because you've got, you know, your note. Like, I am more susceptible to missing things because if I'm not, like, grabbed, I will wander in my brain.
Well,
so,
I also didn't have subtitle. If I'm not grabbed, I will wander.
Yeah, I will. I will be like, what else am I? What's going on here?
Well, I mean, I will too, but I'll rewind and watch parts. I wasn't inclined to do that here.
So if we did miss something, somebody let us know because it was confusing.
I love how the way he got away is he had a little tiny bottle of Neosporin and he could literally spray it all over the room. The smallest of bottles. It lasted forever.
It's magic. It's Disney. Like, Disney magic, Neosporin.
And there was like naked women pictures on the walls in the science lab. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they were going for here.
I was really wishing that the guy that did this did other things so I could kind of like see where this was coming from. But unfortunately, he didn't. So I have nothing to base it off of.
I don't even know. I don't really, like, he died, and then he came back with the crazy woman, and his, it looked like the same daughter, right? He had the same daughter? I don't know. Did the lady maybe clone him when she had sex with him? I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Same.
And she had the daughter. Maybe she cloned the daughter, too. I don't know. Maybe she wanted her own family. Maybe she cloned... I got nothing. I got nothing, Carly. I have absolutely nothing. I'm trying to tie together the minuscule pieces of yarn to make a plot that makes sense. It's just not happening.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think that there's something that we're missing. I don't know if it was that we missed in viewing. Because I feel like maybe at the beginning, the firing is kind of a setup because he's like, oh, you're firing me for no reason. And they're like, well, there's a little bit more to it. And then we don't really.
Yeah. And then the scientist.
Yeah. And then the scientist
guy says they didn't explain it to you when they fired you. But we don't know what he did.
Right.
That's all he says, really. Yeah. Well, he explained something. I just didn't understand any of what he was saying. You came as a boy and then something happened and I don't know.
And then like the French girls, when they're like, come with us. He's like, if I go with you, something bad's going to happen. And then she's like, but if you don't, then something will. Like maybe that was something too. I don't know.
I think she was trying to lure him back to the science place, maybe. And then she realized if he didn't want to go, they had to kill him. So she spat in his face and gave him the cat flu.
Yeah.
The cat flu, by the way. The cat flu, which is a thing. And he coughs up hairballs. Even though he ate zero hair. I don't know where those hairballs
came from. It's funny because the last time that I was at Disney, I actually saw one of the feral cats. You don't really see them.
Yeah, they have a lot of... They do have a lot of feral cats.
They do.
There.
And I've only seen, in all my times that I've been, I've only seen three.
If I was a cat, like, I wouldn't want to live at Disneyland.
Oh my God. It's like the best. It's like a duck. If you're a duck, you want to live at Disneyland.
Yeah. I mean, if you're any animal, you probably want to live at Disneyland.
It's true. You get all the food. They take very good care of you. It's great.
Yeah. It's probably better if you're not like one of the fenced in animals, though, and you can just kind of wander.
Oh, totally.
It's probably, that's better. And there was so many like green screen shots in this film. Yeah,
when they're like fake walking. And I was like, oh, this is phenomenal.
I loved it when the kids were playing and the big kids were giant compared to the little kids. It's like not proportional at all.
It was so good. I was like, amazing.
It's just so obviously a green screen. Like the black and white did not camouflage that enough.
It was phenomenal. My favorite part of the movie, probably.
I love also, there's a scene in the movie where the dad buys his wife, who hates him, by the way.
She really does.
He buys her this little glass bell, a little Disney bell, and she wanted Minnie Mouse, and he got her Dumbo or something. Anyway, he gives it to her in the pool. He had it in his swim trunks and, like, hands it to her when they're swimming in the pool. Who does that?
I don't know, but, like, I felt like the wife was kind of just a super bitch. At that point.
In that moment. Yeah, but I mean, if you're already pissed off at someone and then they do that, you're like, you don't even listen to me. Like, here's the thing. When you're a woman and you get mad at a man for giving you a gift, it's 100% because they told you exactly what they wanted and you didn't fucking listen.
I'm sorry, but that's a thing.
That's the thing. If you say all I want is a Minnie Mouse bell 500 times and then he gets you a Dumbo bell, you're allowed to be pissed because he obviously didn't fucking listen to you. Like, open your ears, bro.
But he was on the right track.
I'm just saying. I hear you, girl. I feel you, girl. I think you're fine. I bet that she said it 100 times and he, like, just... wasn't listening. He's a shitty person, so it's definitely his fault.
I mean, he was definitely like reading French books to try to like hit on teenage French girls, so fair enough.
And hitting on her right in front of his wife. He's a fucking shitbag. Fuck that guy. And the whole time I wrote, fuck that guy. Can he die now? Fuck that guy.
Worst
I hope
dude.
He dies.
Worst dude.
There's a scene when the little boy says, Dad, why are we following these girls?
He's like, why? We're not following them.
Son. Because I'm a fucking creep, son. That's what he should have said.
Yes.
Okay, I'm really glad we watched this movie just so I could get so upset about it. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you for the recommendation, because I definitely don't know if I would have watched this movie regardless or otherwise.
I also want to talk. Sorry, I have one more thing to say. I just saw my note and I started cracking up, so I think I should
say. Yes, you should.
There's a part where they're in Epcot Center and he puts on a fez hat and he's drunk. He's totally wasted. And he goes to his, it's the horrible and racist, but he puts on the fez hat and goes to his daughter, Abba Dabba Doo. And I'm like, are you like a Moroccan French Flintstone?
Yes. What is that? I was like, that was weird. I'm glad you wrote a note about it.
Well, he also like said like Fred Flintstone words. Yeah. Like, that's not even. Oh, it was terrible. Oh, it was also terrible. Okay. Okay. I think I'm done.
All right.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else I really need to say.
Any other gems?
No, I just, the whole thing is just makes me upset.
I was really curious as to, like, I was like, I wonder what Amy's going to think.
I can always tell how good an episode's going to be based on how much fury I feel when I watch a film.
I feel like the entire time I was like a confused dog. I was just sitting there like
turning
my head like, why? What's happening? I don't get it. Maybe Amy will get it. She can explain it to me.
I don't fucking get it. I'm sorry. I didn't put the effort into really getting it. I'm going to be honest. I was so upset.
Oh, so good. All right. Well, let's
move into our new film. Our next film was picked by listener Catlin, who wrote in. So, Carly, since you're better at reading than I am, why don't you read what she wrote in to us, the email she wrote?
Phenomenal. Okay. Yeah. How about...
Can you do me a favor? Yeah. Can you sound like Catlin when you read it? She's from Atlanta, so you should know exactly what she sounds like.
I don't know that, but that's okay. Channeling Catlin. I'm so sorry. I can't even. Okay. How about the 2009 stop-motion horror-esque film Coraline, currently streaming on Netflix? Although it is a movie directed at a younger audience, I consider it to be one of my favorites, and it's pretty scary, too. I mean, a creepy supernatural other mother who tries to lure a preteen girl away from her family to keep as her own, as her very own. And don't get me started on the button eyes thing. 10 out of 10, would recommend. The book it is based on by Neil Gaiman is wonderful as well. Catlin, not Caitlin, from Atlanta.
Very good. I mean, I don't know what Catlin sounds like, but it's probably just like
you. I channeled someone. I think it was just me.
It was just
yourself.
It was
myself. I channeled me. I channeled. Nah.
Such a great actress. I love it. Was this your first viewing? This probably wasn't your first viewing.
No, I actually saw
Coraline.
This in theaters when it came out.
Did you see it in 3D? Because I did.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to intro it. So this is Coraline from 2009. It's directed and written by Harry Selick, who directed James and the Giant Peach and Nightmare Before Christmas, and did the screenplay. He did the screenplay for Nightmare Before Christmas.
No, he directed Nightmare Before Christmas. Sorry. Did I?
Huh?
He did the screenplay for this, not Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh. How about you read that? Because I don't understand it.
I apologize. That's okay. So Henry Selick directed and wrote this, and then he directed James and the Giant Peach and Nightmare Before Christmas. It was based on the book by Neil Gaiman.
Okay, got you. So was it Nightmare Before Christmas? That's Tim Burton.
Tim Burton wrote it.
Did he just wrote it? Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, this, I don't know a lot about, I'm sure everyone knows Henry Selick then if he's done all these things. I'm not familiar. But he's obviously extraordinarily talented because all those movies are amazing. And good choice for this film. The IMDb summary is, an adventurous 11-year-old girl finds another world that is a strangely idealized version of her frustrating home, but it has sinister secrets. I love this movie. I saw it in the theater. Same. And I saw it in 3D, which
I didn't realize that this was the first stop motion movie to be filmed in 3D.
I don't know that I did. It's pretty cool. But it works amazingly in 3D. It also looks amazing, mm-hmm. not in 3D. In 2D, it looks fantastic also. It really doesn't take anything away from the film, watching it in 2D. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I love the beginning.
I can't even imagine how much work went into making this movie.
It's like hours and hours and days and weeks and months, probably. Like, they said that, like, one, to construct one puppet of Coraline, 10 people had to work for 3 to 4 months. And, wow. Like, that's insane. For Coraline, there were, like, 28 different puppets of varying sizes. So, like, imagine.
I can't. It's fantastic and absolutely gorgeous. Also, I think it's the first animated movie we've ever talked about. So thank you for the suggestion, because it's been a while since I've seen this. I haven't seen it since the theater. Same. I remember being really excited when it came out and wanted to see it immediately. Actually, it's funny because Tony and I were dating when this came out, and he was working full time and was going to school full time. So, and trying to date me. So he was like exhausted on all of our dates, but like went on them anyway, because he didn't want me to like break up with him. So he'd like go on these dates when he was exhausted, and we couldn't go to the movies without, he would fall asleep on like half our dates. And I remember we went and saw this in 3D thinking it's in 3D and it's animated. It's amazing. He's not going to fall asleep. Totally fall asleep during it. But like when I was like, oh, I have to watch Coraline this week, he was like, oh, that movie's so good. I'm like, you slept in half of it. How do you
know? He watch it with you?
He did, yeah. Nice. It's so good.
It is. It's so good. It's so creepy. The beginning totally reminds me of the beginning of like Edward Scissorhands. Like with
mm-hmm.
the
hands of the evil mm-hmm. woman. They definitely look kind of Edward Scissorhandish. It definitely has some Tim Burton channeling happening here.
For sure. It's such a cool, it's so good, and it's so creepy, and like, I don't know, especially how the other mother like transforms into this like Black Widow kind of character towards the end. Beldum. Oh my gosh, it's so cool.
She's very creepy. Yeah. The story's very creepy. My listener, Christina, my friend Christina, who is also on one of our Let's Make a Monster episodes, her daughter is 5 and she absolutely loves this
That's
movie.
So awesome.
I think she used to get scared at the end, and now she just like loves it. She also watches Hocus Pocus all the time. She's basically my best friend. It's fine. It's cool.
That's so cool.
I'm like, I will watch movies with you anytime. You have great taste in movies. She also loves like my neighbor Totoro.
Yay.
And like, she has great taste. She does. I mean, Christina has good taste in movies, so Iris has good taste in movies, but I love it. Anyway, sorry. I went and visited 5-year-old Iris yesterday, and I was like, we're doing Coraline, and she was very excited and wanted to talk to me about it, and she like was quoting the movie, and it was just very cute.
That's so cute. I love that.
I almost thought about having her on so she could tell us about what she likes about the movie, because that would be adorable.
That would be insanely adorable.
It would have been very cute.
I'm really happy that this was a stop motion. Initially, I think it was supposed to be live action starring Dakota Fanning. And then they decided to make it stop motion and asked her if she still wanted to do the voice for it.
I think stop motion. I mean, I think a live action of this would still be great. Mm-hmm. But there is some very, I don't know, there's something about it. Like, especially like the downstairs neighbor ladies. And the upstairs yes. lady, the upstairs neighbor, Babinski, that like there's, it needs to be animated to be real.
I agree.
Like, I just
have you ever seen James and the Giant Peach?
I have. I really
same.
Liked it.
I feel like it would have been cool, but I feel like it would have needed that same kind of like live action, but also stop like into stop motion for like the other
yeah.
worlds for or in order for yeah. it to work. But I think it works completely flawlessly as completely stop motion.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done like a Wizard of Oz mm-hmm. thing that made it very different when she's in the other world. But I just love the way they did it so much. Like, I couldn't really imagine it any
Same.
Other way, at least being as effective as it is. Now, let's talk about the neighbors for a while, because they are very interesting
yeah, they
characters.
Are.
So there's these two older ladies downstairs who are, I can only imagine were modeled after, it's kind of like a mix between Grey Gardens. Have you seen Grey Gardens, Carly? Do you know about
Grey Gardens? I have no idea what Grey Gardens is.
Okay, so Grey Gardens is a documentary that came out, and it's about Jackie O's, I think they're her cousins. You know, they're in this really rich family, and they are really old and eccentric and live by themselves in this, like, dilapidated mansion and are absolutely nuts. And it's a whole documentary about them, and they act like they're rich and they have all this money, but they're living in, like, squalor, and they have, like, I don't know, they're always wearing these scarves, and they're very crazy. I mean, I love them, but they're absolutely nuts. So it was a documentary that came out a while ago, and they also, I think something recently came out about it. Anyway, it's, these women are very much kind of modeled after them, I think, and also a mix between them and, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, the women in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, especially the makeup on, the chubbier, character. Mm-hmm. And she, I mean, it's undeniably influenced by those movies, I would assume. But I love them. You know what it also reminded me of? Now, this is not everyone's going to get this reference, but did you ever watch Rugrats growing up? Oh,
absolutely.
Okay. You know the episode where the old ladies, like Tommy gets into this old car and Grandpa turns his back and he's brought to these old ladies' mansion?
Yes.
And there's like, and they call him Bostwick, yes. And they dress him up in like little sailor outfits,
like cheeks, like rosy cheeks. Yes, totally. Yes,
that I think that's also a mix between Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and Grey Gardens.
I love it.
So I don't know. This very much has that feel, but I also love these ladies. They are
hilarious. God, all their Scotties. Come on.
They have so many Scotties.
I love that she's like knitting him an angel sweater before
he dies.
And she's like just getting ready for the future.
You gotta be prepared.
So good.
Carly, do you have a bookshelf, a very large bookshelf filled with puppies that you
Oh my god, I don't think I could ever taxidermy them. I feel like that would be way too creepy.
Yeah. But deep down inside, you kind of want to.
Oh my gosh! If like I could knit angel sweaters for them,
yeah,
hell yeah.
And you could visit them. You could pet them whenever you wanted.
Oh, no. I was like, this is definitely me in the future. If I had like a sister, it'd be me and a crazy old lady with all these dogs.
I don't know. They weren't sisters, Carly. It could be you and me.
Oh my god!
Knows?
Yes, with cats and dogs.
We still have our podcast.
I was like, this is totally off topic, but also hilarious. There's this grandma that plays Skyrim and streams it on YouTube. And like, mm-hmm. I was just like, I just want to be that. Like, that's aspirations for me when I'm old. Is like, they called her like Gaming Granny or something like that.
Yeah. I've seen that. That's hilarious. Oh,
she calls her viewers her grandkids. That'll be us. We'll call our listeners our grandkids.
Oh, will you guys be our grandkids? I'm not going to have any grandkids of my own.
I'm into
not having
it.
Kids, so, yeah. Oh, okay. I love them. And then we also have the great Babinski, who is, I'm not really sure what he is. He is an acrobat of sorts. He also trains jumping mice, because that's a thing.
I was like, is he a mime? Because he's got that like weird makeup situation going on. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a very strangely shaped human. I think he's human. He's probably human. I'm not quite sure. I love how he looks. I love how he acts. I love how everyone calls her Caroline.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The characters are so phenomenal. Her parents are very preoccupied, and I feel for Coraline because she's definitely kind of brushed aside and is dealing with a lot of kind of not so great things. She can't have, you know, a lot of the things she wants. She was just moved away from her best friends. There's a weird kid stalking her. She's in this new house, and her parents keep ignoring her, and I don't know. It's obviously they're working really hard towards something to give her a better life, but are also annoyed by her presence, which, I mean, as adults, we can all kind of relate to being annoyed by children sometimes. It's just a reality of life and being an adult. But she's not doing anything wrong, and the poor kid just wants a little attention and love. So, like, it makes sense. They really kind of outline all these things before any of the other stuff comes in. And I really appreciate that. It's very important. And I think probably having a book helps give you that outline to when you're creating this
film. Most definitely.
I'd really love to read the book. I wonder if it's like a full length book or a children's sized book. Do you know?
I'm assuming it'd be like a full length or like short story.
It's got to be kind of long because there's a lot of stuff here. I wonder how much creatively they had to add. I mean, if it was more of a children's novel, if you will, you know, like James and the Giant Peach was, I could see it might be a little easier creating this world than if it was a children's sized book. You know?
It is a children's novella.
Oh, okay. So then there was probably more to it. I would love to get this book. Same. And maybe get it for some of my nieces and nephews. I love the ghost design in this film. We have
they're creepy.
They're very creepy, but they're also friendly, so it's good for kids.
Totally.
And I love how they don't move their mouths when they talk. I don't know why, but I really like how they did that.
I agree.
Because why would ghosts need to move their mouths? They don't have vocal cords.
That's a very good point. And they thought about it, and they were like, you know what? They're ghosts. They don't need to move their mouths when they talk.
Well, I mean, if you're doing stop motion and you don't need to move your mouth, let's just not move your mouth.
Exactly. We'll just have you hover.
I like how they did that. I like the really weird, creepy things in this film that are just so creative. Like the dad turning into a pumpkin and then having this praying mantis robot thing that he rides. It was so weird.
I
love weird, creative things. I just love it so much. And this movie has a lot of things like that. I love the cat. Mm-hmm. The cat is the hero of the entire movie, and I love that.
Skinny, ratty cat.
That cat has been protecting her from the beginning of the film that you find out at the end. I just love it. More cats as heroes. I love a cat hero.
Good cat hero.
Yeah. What's not to love about a good cat hero?
Accurate.
So I think we also really need to talk about the end here, which is basically, I mean, this has to be a video game, and if it's not, it should be, like, you know, a Coraline video game where you have to find the eyes in order to free the ghost children, and then at the end you find your parents. Like, that's it's structured very much like a video game.
I agree with you.
I don't know if it is, but it should be a video game, because that would be amazing and I would totally play it.
It totally is a video game.
But when she's going around and finding the eyes, and she goes into the theater with the old ladies.
Yes. With the dog bats.
I mean, I guess this wasn't when she's finding the eyes. This was just when she goes to a show.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about further
down. when she goes in there, and we're watching this amazing musical that these old ladies have put together. The first lady comes out, she goes, oh my god, she's almost naked. And then the second lady comes out and she is legit. Like, her boobs are hanging out. She's wearing pasties. Oh my god, she has the most ginormous rack I've ever seen. And, like, these pasties over it. And I'm just in love. Like, I can't with how, like, it must have been so crazy making that stop motion. Like, I hope that they can use this in this children's movie.
So good, though.
It's so good. It's the most boobs in a children's movie that you've ever seen.
For sure. Yeah. And also the most Scotty dogs. There were 248 in the audience.
there was a lot of Scotty dogs, and I loved how the Scotty dogs turned into bats when she was trying to find the eyes.
Same, and like, attacked the candy ladies.
Ugh, I loved, I mean, it's just...
So creative.
It's just so great. It's just so great. I really love this movie.
Same.
I really love it. It is a little long, but it keeps you engaged throughout.
I was surprised at how long it was. I didn't remember. I mean, obviously, it's been so many years since I've seen it.
Right.
But I was surprised. It's like almost 2 hours long.
And with a film that has so much work put into it, I just love how they didn't try to like shy away from any
totally.
Of it. You know, like they could have tried to made this shorter, you know, they could have cut back and made their jobs a lot easier, but they really went for it. And you can tell that so much like love and effort went into making this film as good as it could be.
For sure. I mean, at the time, it was the longest stop motion movie to be made. I think Kubo and the Two Strings, which came out a couple years ago, was longer.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, even that, it's incredible. That
I still need to see that film. It looks great. I've heard great things about
it. It's good. I like Coraline better.
Yeah.
It flows better.
I just love. I love all of this. I don't really have too much more to say. Everything is... there's nothing about this I didn't like.
Same. I was really excited to revisit it.
Me too. Thank you so much for the suggestion.
Thank you, Catelyn.
Catelyn, we love you. Thank you very much.
Thank you to Catelyn and Fred for both suggesting movies for us to
obviously
watch.
Obviously, Fred also. I mean, Fred, yeah, you're Fred. Okay, so are we moving on to our next segment?
We are. Called Justin from Horror Business Asks the Final Girls.
Because? Well,
because we yelled at him for not requesting a movie, so he felt bad and asked a bunch of questions.
Yeah. That's the name of the full segment,
it's true.
You
dot, dot, dot.
It's a run-on sentence on purpose. So this is a fact. I basically was like, Justin, why don't you request a movie? And he was like, you know, I have my own podcast with my own movies I talk about, and I don't have time for your bullshit. That's basically what he said. And I was like, listen here, asshole.
Oh, nice. That was a good reference, though. Unless it was an accidental scream reference.
I mean, I just talk like I'm in Scream at all times. So,
listen, asshole.
It's like kind of accidental and kind of not.
She's channeling her inner Drew Barrymore.
Basic. I didn't do the lisp, though. Would you like me to try it again with the
please.
Drew Barrymore
One more
lisp?
Time for the crowd in the back.
Listen, asshole.
Nailed it.
Is that better? Thanks. Okay. I love Drew Barrymore.
Same.
Oh my God. I've been watching Santa Clarita Diet, and it's like she's my whole life.
I haven't watched the second season yet.
I just want to like, I was going to say something weird. I'm not going to say it. I just want to like cuddle with her. Is that weird? Like not in a sexual way. I just like, I think she would be really great at cuddling. She'd be just such a good cuddler, I think.
I could see it.
I don't know. I don't know why. I just feel like very connected to her as a person. Okay. So will you read Justin's first question while I breathe?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So question number one, what's the movie for both of you that turned you from civilian to horror fan?
And that's a very good question. A very interestingly worded question.
For sure.
I'm guessing he's like a person that likes horror movies to like a crazy horror person. That's what I'm taking that to mean. Because we've already talked about all the movies that kind of made us horror fans, but maybe not the one that turned us into like the horror fans we are now.
I feel like mine's the same, though. I feel like it's Texas Chainsaw for me.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. You know, I originally wrote Evil Dead, and I've mentioned that many times. It's the first time I bought a horror poster. When I went to college, it was the first poster I put on my wall. I wanted everyone in my hall to know I loved horror movies. I had my Evil Dead poster with the hand reaching up.
It's a great poster.
It is a great poster, but I'm going to actually switch it to In the Mouth of Madness, because that is the first... not super popular movie that I just fell in love with and watched over and over again. There's like a special connection between me and John Carpenter, you know, in that movie. John Carpenter. So good. No, is a special connection between me and that film. I just love it so much, and John Carpenter's the man. I think honestly, it was. I wonder if it was one of the if it was the first John Carpenter movie I ever saw. I mean, it's possible. Because I didn't get into horror until high school, and my brother was watching it, and, like, I begged him to let me watch it with him, and he let me. And I don't think I saw Halloween till after that. I'm going to go with, that's my first John Carpenter movie. So, yeah, I think that is the one. I'm going to go
I'd
with
it. I've seen Halloween definitely before Texas Chainsaw, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre was the first one that, like, I watched with my friend and Gina, who, like, we just got super into horror. Like, we...
Oh, Gina. We talked about her last week.
We went to, like, Blockbuster and would rent, like, movies from A to Z. Just, like, we saw some really shitty horror movies that way. But, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, we'd, like, go to Borders. And they had, in their movie section, like, a special one that was, like, half movie, half, like, serial killer section. And, like, would read up, like, the making of, and then like the backstory of where this family came from. So like that kind of turned me into just like, oh, I'm watching horror movies, to like, I'm getting super into like where these horror movies came from. So,
and arguably I would say that this podcast turned me into a crazy horror fan. I think before this, I was like a normal horror fan. I think my knowledge has expanded so much since I started the show. I've definitely done more research. I've gone to, you know, some horror conventions. I've bought more horror shirts. I go through phases where I have obsessions, and this one sticks the most, I think. And I've definitely clung to it since starting this show. So arguably, it's not a movie that turned me into a crazy person. It's this podcast.
I like it. I like that answer.
Yeah. Okay. Number two of Justin's questions. What's one franchise you'll go to bat for, regardless of any weak entries? So a horror franchise that, you know, maybe it's not great as a whole, but you love it as a whole anyway. Mine is A Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's a great franchise.
I mean, even at its worst, it's still so much fun to watch. Like, even when it's not good, it's still good. It's like pizza. Even when it sucks, it's still pretty good.
I told you, like, I got a newfound, like, appreciation for it when I watched them all back to back. Because they're so interconnected that, like, it's great and they make sense. The first one that jumped to mind was Scream. Even though Scream 3 is not the best, it's still fine. It's still a good time. It's still ridiculous. And Parker Posey's in it. So I'd say Scream, even though I don't think we're getting any more of those.
Cool. I like it. I can dig it.
Right. What, in your opinion, is the most overrated film franchise, and what are the most underrated? Oof. This is a question that when I read, I was like, shit, I don't know.
I don't even know that I read the what are the most underrated. I don't know that I can even answer that. The most overrated film franchise. People are going to hate me. I have two that people absolutely love, and I'm going to be a monster. But I'll just say one, because the other one, I haven't watched the franchise as a whole, so I shouldn't have an opinion on it. But I'm going to go with Friday the 13th. I'm so sorry.
You were going to say that.
Okay. I like Friday the 13th. Do not get me wrong. I think it's a great franchise. We've discussed this in our Friday the 13th month. We did almost all of the movies. I like the later franchise films. The early ones, I like them, but they're not as great as I want them to be, if that's something to say. I know that's not a popular answer. And again, I don't hate them. I think that they're great. I still enjoy watching all of those films. I just think they're a little bit overhyped, and that's fine because when they came out, it was a big deal and they were something special. I don't get mad when it's someone's favorite franchise by any means. It's nowhere near the top of my list.
I think that's for fair. I mean, obviously my favorite one is like the 2009, 2010 one. So, I mean,
they're just like, they're not as gory as I want them to be. The later ones are, to me, more fun to watch. Like Jason Takes Manhattan is so great. Jason X, I think, is hilarious. I prefer the later ones and I like the remake. But if you go back and watch the first couple movies, they're fucking boring. I'm sorry. They just are.
I love the first few.
I appreciate that they exist. They're just not my favorite.
I think one, two, and three I totally love. So I get you, though. But I'm curious as to what your second franchise that you haven't seen all, but you think it's...
You know what it is. Don't make me say it. I'm going to get beat up.
What is it? I don't know. Oh, wait. Just say it.
Hellraiser.
Is the most overrated?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't get it. But like I said, it's been a really long time since I watched that, so I don't feel like I should have opinion on it. So I'm just not gonna.
I guess that's...
So I'm going to cut this out.
I feel like... No, I mean, I think that you should leave it in because I feel like... I kind of agree with you, in that, but I haven't seen the entire franchise and I don't know if when the last time that I saw other than the first one, cause I feel like I've been watching the first one a lot lately and it's so ridiculous that I don't like, I get that Pinhead's fucking awesome, but like, I don't understand like the rest of... It's so weird and it's so melodramatic and it reads to me more like a soap opera than a horror movie with also murder. So,
and gore. Yeah, I remember it being very gory.
It is gory. So I can agree with you. I think mine might be, I don't know if I can really say any of like the older movie ones are like overrated. I feel like Saw needs to give it a rest. I don't understand why they keep coming out with more Saw movies.
You know, Saw is very beloved, and I'm not quite sure I understand
it.
And I still like the Saw movies, but I'm still like, okay. I mean, but they're not that great.
I don't think so either. And like, I don't know. I kind of have this conversation with my cousin a lot, but I personally don't get it. I enjoy the first one for sure. There's some cringeworthy moments in the second one, but I could not. I know that I've seen all of them, I think, except for the latest. I didn't watch Jigsaw.
I heard Jigsaw's great, actually. I heard it's pretty
fun. I've
been
meaning to watch it, but I haven't. But I couldn't tell you which movie is which after.
Yeah. No, that's exactly the problem there. But that's the problem with any film franchise that has a billion movies. Like, after a while, you're like, okay, which one is that again?
Yeah.
Even with Nightmare on Elm Street that I absolutely love and have seen back to back 100 times, I like have to really think about which movie is which. Especially once you get to like 4, 5, 6 area, I'm like, which one is that again?
Totally.
Okay, so what are the most underrated? Easy. Sleepaway Camp.
Hell yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
So good.
That's the money. Answer.
That is a money
no
answer.
More. Period.
Next question.
Next question. I like how we spent an hour talking about overrated movies and like 5 seconds talking about underrated. There's
no need
only
for
one
explanation.
Boom. Done. Maybe Cube. But I've only seen the first two. I haven't seen any of the other ones.
That's fine. That's all we need.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, our next question is...
Have horror films become less misogynistic or more misogynistic in the last 30 years?
Less?
I think less. I think that...
Obviously less.
I think that even though, obviously, we've always had this aspect of the final girl, which has been, like, female empowerment, there's still been, like, the other side of that in a lot of... these movies that we know and love. And I feel like that's changed a lot. I feel like you've got more women writing and directing, and even just men who we've spoken about who like understand that aspect of it more. And yeah. I think things have changed in a lot of ways, in a lot of really great ways.
We have more female mm-hmm. writers. We have more female directors, which really helps a lot. I think as a whole, the horror genre is pretty good. I think, there's some jokes from when I was growing up about how sexist a lot of horror movies are, like the girls are dumb and making stupid mm-hmm. decisions, and that's kind of become a trope now, so it's played around yeah. with as a joke. But I mean, there's very few movies where there's not at least one badass female totally. In a horror film. Yeah. I can count, I think more in the horror genre than any other genre, I feel a lot of female empowerment and a lot of, intelligent, strong characters. I think that's why part of the reason why I love horror so much is because it's just a great all around genre for women. I'm excited about where horror is going because we have a lot of great female horror directors. I'm really excited to see Revenge.
Oh my God. I'm seeing that at the end of this month. I'm so stoked. Oh really? Stoked.
Yeah. For those of you who aren't familiar, it's a rape revenge film that was written and directed by a woman, and it's supposed to be amazing. I'm super stoked to see that.
You should come up for that. It's an insane thing. They're doing like a badass women in horror extravaganza. So it's going to be
when is it?
It's April 28th. But it's Revenge, The Descent, Mad Max Fury Road, and Aliens at the Arrow.
I mean, it's crazy to think that it's less misogynistic now, but it really was never that misogynistic to totally. Begin with. I mean, considering other genres, I can think of the most misogynistic films I can think of are not horror films. There's definitely some that exist.
For sure, because you even had like the dumb, like slutty girl or whatever, but then there was this dumb slutty boy and they always both yeah. died together, usually. Yeah. So it was never like... Yeah. Yeah, there was always yeah. like the male counterpart to the female. So I never really felt like it was like super misogynistic. It was just like these over the top ridiculous characters.
Yeah. And I don't know why that is in horror movies. I mean, there's definitely like a lot of rape revenge movies like make me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those are the films that have a lot of misogyny behind them, but they're also not misogynistic sometimes because there is a woman who
is
like,
taking her
yes
ownership.
Those still are
basically.
Very difficult for me to watch. Yeah. I'm really excited to see this from the female perspective, Same. From a woman making a film like this, because we don't have a lot of those. And most women I know can't stand the rape revenge subgenre of horror.
It's very uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable for women, and most of the people I know that like those movies are men. I know that I'm generalizing, and I know that I'm sure there's people out there that feel the opposite
most
way.
Most of the people that I know, just people in general, like men and women, aren't huge fans of the yeah. rape revenge.
It's just not enjoyable to me. Like, I like to be able to enjoy horror, mm-hmm. And I can't enjoy that. I just can't. Definitely less, but I don't think it ever was very misogynistic as a Same. Whole. I think, again, there's definitely super misogynistic films out there. But I, as a whole, I just love the genre, period. Okay.
And the most important question.
Yes, it's the last question.
Which is the best Halloween film? Halloween 3, Halloween 3, or Halloween 3? Justin, I'm going to have to go ahead and say Halloween 3.
Okay, let's pretend he didn't say Halloween 3, Halloween 3, or Halloween 3, and actually talk about some of our favorite Halloween movies.
I love Halloween 3. There's no joke there.
No, there's no joke. I absolutely love Halloween 3. No, I've spoken about this numerous times. It's fantastic. It's one of my favorite films to watch during Halloween so time. I love, love, love the movie. Is it your favorite Halloween film, though?
Can I tell you, it might be my most watched Halloween film.
It's definitely my most watched, 100%, because it's so much fun and so easy to watch. You could just put it on and do
so
whatever.
Good.
But Halloween, I mean, the original Halloween is obviously the best Halloween film.
I agree.
But Halloween 3 is not too far behind. I think it might be Halloween, Halloween 3, and then either Halloween 2 or Halloween H2O. And I think Halloween 2 and Halloween H2O might be tied, although it's been a while since I've seen H2O.
I love H2O. But, got Josh Hartnett. Son of a gun.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember very much enjoying that movie.
I really like watching Halloween into Halloween 2. I like just that whole, that one night is just great.
Yeah, it does merge very mm-hmm. well together.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Halloween 3.
Super, super fantastic. We definitely love it here. It's a Final Girl favorite.
It totally is. We've never talked about it though, so we should do that.
Yeah, we will eventually, I'm sure. If it ever streams.
Phenomenal.
All right. Well, I feel like this is a very long episode for us. Oh, we have been talking for over an hour. That is rare lately. We've been like at like 56 minutes or so. All right. Well, let's talk about a little bit what's going on with us. I mean, I kind of want to save this for our next Final Girl live stream.
Quiet Place.
But I think we need to at least talk about A Quiet Place.
Yes.
I mean,
I saw it on Thursday, right? Because I was like, oh, it's going to be, you know, it's a Thursday night. Like, it's probably going to be pretty chill. Like, it'll be a different crowd than the whoever comes out Friday night for it. My theater was packed. The first two rows were like empty, but everything else, my whole theater was completely packed. And I was stoked on it. Like, people that I know that don't even watch horror movies are like rushing to see this movie, which makes me so excited because it's good. I really liked this movie a lot.
I loved it.
So good.
I had it so high on my list of expectations, mm-hmm. or I had such high expectations for this film, and they were totally lived up to. The acting was great. The story was fantastic. The creature design was totally wonderful. I was on the edge of my seat. There was really very little wrong with this film. It was a near perfect film. Modern Horrors has it as 9.5, and I have to say I agree with it.
100%.
Yeah. And I mean that half is like, I mean, there's the tiniest bit of room for improvement for me, but as a whole, I mean, I just loved it.
I agree. I thought it was so well done, and I honestly, so we had the teaser trailer that came out, and I was just like, yes, mm-hmm. I am in it. I am so excited. And then I remember going to see another movie, and like the full-length trailer happened, and I was kind of bummed out because I was like, I don't want to see that much of it. Like, I didn't want to know so much about it. And so I was kind of slightly worried, but it was so good. Like, I still feel like it could have done without that, like, longer trailer, because mm-hmm. a lot of the beginning is kind of what happens in that longer trailer. And I would have preferred to be surprised about that.
Right.
But again, that's like 0.5. It's, it was great start to finish.
I think, I'd like to talk about the theater experience a little bit. Just, I mean, we can't talk too much about it without giving anything mm-hmm. away. So I'd like to avoid any kind of spoilers here, but, the theater experience was very strange for me because my theater wasn't packed. I purposefully went to a theater kind of a little bit out of my way that I like to go to. That's it's quieter. There's not a lot of people that go to it. So when there's like a more serious, like less fun film I'm going to, I like a more subdued audience, if you will. And this theater is very, they're comfortable mm-hmm. seats, and it's never crowded. So I was lucky enough to not have a super full theater. There was definitely a lot of people there, but we weren't sitting next to other people or right. anything. And there were people eating popcorn, and I was like, shh, you know.
I get that. It's a very quiet movie.
It's such a quiet, especially at the beginning. It definitely gets louder towards the end. But like, the quiet moments are so fucking quiet that like even someone eating popcorn two rows behind you is like, oh my god, what the fuck are you doing? Especially because you're so tense. It's kind of, it doesn't take you out of it, but you're like, eh. And I also, there was a moment when something, I'm just gonna say, when something is making noise and the person behind me goes, shh, shh, be quiet, you know. that they were so into it that they like had to say that. They were being very quiet about it, but I could hear them and I loved it. I love that they did that. I loved how into it the audience was.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were saying that it's like the best audience in these films because everyone feels the need to be so quiet during the film itself.
It's true. Did you see what Stephen King had tweeted about it?
Oh, no, I didn't.
He said, A Quiet Place is an extraordinary piece of work. Terrific acting, but the main thing is the silence and how it makes the camera's eye open wide in a way few movies manage. And it's true because, like, you're just, because of the lack of sound, you're paying attention to literally everything that's happening, the smallest things, because you're just like, there's so little talking in the whole thing.
It's a fantastic movie to go. I would think, I know I've seen quite a few things recently about deaf people are talking about, you know, how it's difficult for them to go to the theater. A lot of times their screens with the subtitles don't work very well, and they feel like they're very much not respected in a theater setting. A lot of people are pulling towards putting subtitles on theater films, which I am 100% behind, by the way, because as you all know, I love subtitles. But I thought it was very interesting how this film, you don't need subtitles. I mean, even when there is some dialogue, you could easily read their lips because even I could, and I don't know how to read lips. And B, it doesn't matter because you would still know what they're saying.
Yeah.
There's very few times in this film. I can think of maybe one scene you might be a tiny bit lost, but you could still figure out what's happening based by what's happening. Everything else is in sign language and has subtitles. I mean, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful, I just love that part of it. And I think as a deaf person, you would really enjoy this film. Not that any deaf people are listening to our podcast right now. But maybe they know someone who knows it or listen.
Oh, it's so good. And I want to see it again.
I would love to see it again.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. So next week we have two more films for Listener Request Month. What are those films, Carly?
So Zanna requested Asmodexia, directed by Mark Karate?
Karate. It's a Spanish language film, I believe. Exorcism type Spanish language film.
Streaming on Hulu. And then Monica requested Into the Forest, directed by Patricia Rosima. It's streaming on Amazon Prime.
Nice. Some more streaming films.
Love it. Makes our job easy. And yours, if you want to watch along.
Yeah, I'm excited to see these movies. I honestly don't know anything about these other than what I read in brief synopses. So I'm stoked to watch a couple new films that I don't know anything about. Cool. Oh, this is weird. All right. Well, I guess we're done for this week.
I guess we are.
All right. Well, until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye.
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H, Nick B, Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC, and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our homepage.